Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go live into the message.
I want to continue a little bit from where I was a week ago tonight on God's End Time Lexicon, Part 2. The text is Hosea 14, 1 and 2. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thy iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. You may be seated. Words are weapons. And I believe that words create our lifestyle rather than our lifestyle creating our words. When we begin to speak things, it sets things in motion. And when we begin to speak what God is speaking, it's supernatural. We can repeat a lot of situations, circumstances, current events without much power. But when we repeat what God says, that's God's word, it takes on a life all of its own. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That's an amazing portion of scripture. It's all profitable. All scripture is profitable. That's the reason why a lot of people don't have much profit in their life, is they don't know the word of God and they certainly aren't able to share it and to speak it. But all of it is profitable, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God's word will make you perfect, and it will furnish your life with good works. I like to hear people preach and teach that are effective. I don't mean just effective in delivery and effective in style, but they're effective in the fact that their life bears the fruit of the word of God that they're speaking. Pastor Brandon and I was talking about some things that Bill Winston was sharing somewhere. Brandon had read it or seen it and was sharing with me, and it's just mind-boggling, eye-opening. But his life backs that up. I don't want to hear somebody preach that has been living for the Lord for years according to their own testimony and they're still a failure. Their words don't work. I don't want to hear somebody preach and teach to me that's been married about 3 or 4 times. Their lifestyle is not working. So it's not just enough to say the words, but you have to say them with the anointing that I have incorporated this in my life, and this has worked, and this has produced that. I told Pastor Brandon that one of the things you should do when you're selecting speakers is not just get somebody that's extremely talented, tremendously funny, really great at public speaking, but look at their life and see what those words have produced. If they're very glib and very talented, but their life is not one that is something that you would desire, pass over them. Find somebody that has a life that's been created by the words they say. We're bad about choosing style over substantive life-creating teaching, and we should look to the life. So I'm talking about God's end-time lexicon. Lexicon is not a dictionary, an unabridged dictionary. It's actually words taken from the dictionary. It's a list of words, particularly in Greek and Latin, but it also applies to English, words that are selected out of that dictionary that become a list. In other words, it's the words that you're comfortable with. It's the words that you use a lot. So when we talk about God's lexicon, we're saying the words that God is using, all scripture is given, and it is profitable, but there are timely verses. I listened to a bad preacher one time, and I was sitting right next to a good preacher, and we got in the car. Neither one of us had said anything, and it was just so tragic, that sermon that night. I said to him, I said, how'd you like that? He said 2 words, untimely fig. I've always thought about it. Every time I hear preaching, whether it's me or somebody else, and we're not good as, I just hear him saying, untimely fig. Green fig. I don't know about figs. Did you ever eat a green persimmon? It'll make you pucker up. I mean, and it'll last for a while. We used to have persimmons in Illinois. There's a persimmon tree right over here behind the church, actually. Don't ever eat a green persimmon. It'll make you bugger up. So an untimely fig, it doesn't mean the fig is a bad fruit. It just means that it didn't work for the moment. And so when you talk about God's Word, it's all given for inspiration, but it's more timely sometimes. You can read a verse, and it doesn't minister that much to you, but a year later you read that same verse, it leaps over the page, off of the page, because it is such a timely verse for what you're going through. And so when I talk about God's lexicon for the end time, I'm talking about what are the most frequent words that God is using for this generation. That's what I'm talking about. And so the Bible said, Job said, my ears trieth words like my mouth trieth meat. He listens and hears something. It means something to me. What is on our mind will manifest in our words. More often we use it, it means what we're thinking about. And what God is thinking about in this end time generation is what God is talking about. It's what God's saying. Those that are spiritual can hear what the Spirit is saying, and you realize this is on God's heart. This is what God is doing at this day and this time. And so one of the words that I used last week that God is using right now, and that is revive. Revive us in the midst of the years. And so we talked about that last week. This week I want to talk about the second word I want to amplify for you is tonight is recover. That's a great word, recover. It's used many, many times in the Bible. It's used both in the Old Testament and it's used in the New Testament. Recover differs from the word revive that I used last week. Revive means make the dead live. But recover means to repossess something that I used to have, but I don't have it anymore. I repossess it. It's something that I've lost. But it has a little different word, a little different meaning in the Greek and in the Hebrew than it does in the English. In the Hebrew, this is very important. Recover means to repossess something that was held at one time, but now it's gotten away from us. It's slipped away. We've lost it. So now we are seeking to recover that. That's more like the English word. But the Greek word is a little different than that. Recover in the Greek, it means something that is present, and it's always been present, but it's not been revealed. It's not been uncovered. And so the word recover in Greek means to uncover that which is there. And so when we talk about God's church, that's exactly what God is doing. God is speaking to us about recovering great things that used to be in the church that have slipped away, that we've lost, much like Samson when he lost his anointing. The Bible said simply that he wist not, he knew not that the Spirit had departed from him. He didn't know that, and so it was lost, but he didn't even recognize that. And I preached a message called Undetected Losses. They lose it, but they don't even know they've lost it. We need to be more like the woman that had 10 coins that lost one. When she realized she lost it, what did she do? She called for a light. She swept the house until she found that which was lost. We that are spiritual do not realize that things are lost and say, well, that's just the way it is now. That's no more present, and it doesn't really matter to us. If you are a person after God's own heart, when you realize something that is meaningful to God and to God's church is gone, you go on a search. You begin to seek. You say, I want to recover that which is lost. And if you will realize that what God does corporately for his church, he also wants to do individually for each one of us. And so it's very important. So when we talk about recovering the things that are lost in the church, we need to think about the things that are lost in our life. There are a number of great advancements in the church that are technology and new methods and new ideals, but there's much that has been lost. And it is the presence of Almighty God, just God's sheer, unadulterated presence. It's just the power of God that comes in. It's a tangible thing. And the problem we have today is with so much talent. There is so much talent, not only in the church, but people are just more talented now than they used to be. Kids are just more talented now than kids used to be. When I see kids doing what they're doing now, their age, I just sat in the corner sucking my thumb, and they're out there doing things that are exploits. I'm saying, wow. These kids are so much more advanced. But particularly in America and other countries like this, They're so developed, and they have so much talent. Well, that talent is brought into the church, which is a great thing. It's wonderful to see someone that is talented. They can play skillfully on instruments. God honored that in David. David could play skillfully. God honored that. Skill is not something that we are to dismiss, but we're also not let to talent to replace things that are spiritual, and we are in danger of doing that. When we don't feel God's presence, we can just put somebody up that's so talented and so skillful. They can speak, they can sing, they can play, and that replaces the things of God. And we have an undetected loss. We do not realize that God's presence is not there because we're enjoying the entertainment of the moment so much. But we that are spiritual and know God and know the history of God and the history of the church, we suffer that, and we say, wait, that's good, but it's not good enough. That's great, but it cannot be a replacement for God's Spirit. And so I want God's Spirit more than anything else. What brings God's Spirit is to revere and honor God's Word and to pray and worship God. When you put the prayer and praise and the Word of God at the pinnacle of your desire, I can guarantee you God will honor that with His Holy Spirit. And so skill and talent is a wonderful thing, but talent doesn't heal, and skill does not save. It is by God's might and by God's power. And so we that are spiritual and consider ourselves astute in the things of God, and you consider yourself a leader in the church, it's up to you to demand in the Spirit that, God, we have the spiritual aspect of the church, that we do not substitute the spiritual aspect for the church for the talent and the skill of people and personalities, because, God, we need a supernatural invasion of your glory and your power every time we come together. Because when we come together, there are people that are brokenhearted, and the only thing that can mend the broken heart is the anointing that Christ said He had. He said that will bind the broken heart. The only thing that can prevent somebody from leaving a church service like this and committing suicide is not because you're talented on an instrument. It's because God's Spirit begins to speak to them, and they realize that suicide is not an end to what they're suffering, but it's only the beginning of a greater suffering that they need to turn their heart toward God. That can only be done with the spiritual things of God. And so we need to recover that which is lost. And the Bible teaches us that. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, there's a great story of recovery. And it's the story of David. And David and his men were out on battle. They had left their family, their wives and their children, in Ziklag, and while they were gone, the enemy came in, the Amalekites, and invaded that city of Ziklag. They stole all of their animals. They took all of their wealth, all of their gold, all of their silver. They didn't stop there. They kidnapped their wives and their children, and then they burned the village of Ziklag to the ground. And when David and his warriors, his army, came back and saw that, they were totally devastated. They were totally devastated. And when people are hurt, what they usually do is try to find somebody to blame. In this case, they blame David. This is where the Bible said two things happened here. They said they spake of stoning David. And the second thing, the Bible said that David encouraged himself. The reason why he encouraged himself, because everybody was against him. Have you ever had that feeling where everybody is against me? That's generally not true, but it can be true. And in the case of David, it was. They all wanted to kill David because they had lost everything they had. But more importantly, they had lost their children and their companions. And they said, it's David's fault. Let's just stone him. And so David inquired of the Lord. He said, Lord, should I follow after them and pursue them, and should I try to recover what they've taken? Our wives and our children and our wealth, should I try to recover that? And God spoke to him very specifically, and God said, yes, I want you to follow them. I want you to pursue them. And he said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. The church is allowing things to slip away that God is saying, I want you to pursue them. It should matter to us if the altars are empty. It should matter to us if people are not being saved. It should matter to us if there are not miracles in our midst. And it's up to each and every one of us that really consider ourselves warriors in the kingdom of God, that we take a hold of the horns of the altar and say, God, I am going to pursue the things that I have lost. And if we will do that, I can promise you, God gave us a promise, and he said, you will recover them all. God is telling us that the things of God are not beyond our reach. It's real easy just to sit down and say, well, it's just the signs of the time. And it's just the way it is. David could have said, well, the Amalekites outnumber us, and so there's not anything we can do about it. Ladies and gentlemen, God has given you the power to retake what the devil has stolen away. I don't care what we have lost in the church. There is a group of people on a highway in San Antonio that can say, wait just a minute. We're not going to be like every other church in town. We're not going to be void of the things of God, but we're going to be seekers after God. We're going to seek the face of God because we know that God will reward us, that God will show up, and he has promised us that we can really receive and recover everything that has been taken away from the church. So that means we need to recover prayer, and we need to recover great preaching, and we need to recover worship, and we need to recover miracles, things that have happened in the Bible, in the book of Acts, but things that have happened 50 years ago and 100 years ago. And just as sure as we do that, we can begin to see that God will help us to recover the things that have lost in our life. Because there are many people here today that have lost things, and they say, well, I just guess that's gone forever. It doesn't have to be, because God's vocabulary is recover. You are not supposed to lose anything. God's in the business of helping us to acquire, and our acquisitions do not get smaller. They get bigger and bigger. In fact, the Bible teaches us when the devil comes in and steals something from us, that we're to go take it back, and God's not only going to give it back, but he's going to give it to us seven times. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people in this very building that you've lost things spiritually that God wants to give you a seven times anointing. There are people here that have lost things economically, and you say, well, I guess that's gone forever. God has said, hey, I'll give it to you. You recover all. Not only that, I'll multiply it by the number seven, which is the number of perfection. God is saying to you today, I am giving you the anointing of recovery. Think about it. What about if you've got all you have right now and what you used to have? It's wonderful to see all the people that come into Living Way Church. We couldn't get them. We couldn't get those two crowds on Sunday in that little building, even one of them next door. We thought that was a great thing. But we had some major miracles happen in that building. And so what we can say is we can have what we have now, and we can have what we used to have. We can put it all together. That's the reason why God talks about the glory of the former house and the glory of the latter house. That's the reason why he talks about the former rain and the latter rain. He doesn't say that the former rain is going to be done away with. He said you're going to have the former rain and the latter rain, and they're going to become one. You just think that you can have the blessing that you've got now, but you have to sacrifice the blessing that you've lost. God said no. In the last day, one of the words that I'm speaking about is recover. You can have everything you've got now and everything you used to have and bring it to pass in your life. And God's going to do that. I'm speaking to somebody right now. You say, well, I like certain things in my life, but this part I really miss. I've lost it. God said, I'm going to bring that back, and you can keep what you've got too. You can have the glory of the past, and you can have the glory of the present all at the same time. And God is saying, I just want you to get as hungry as I am. God wants you to be as hungry to be blessed as God is hungry to bless you. You know, it's God's hunger to bless his people. God loves to feed his people. God loves to bless his people. The joy of the Lord is to bless his people to the place that they overflow. That's where overflow comes. Because you have what you have now, and then you get what you used to have. You begin to recover those things. And God is saying, I want to do it in your life.
And the Bible said that David did that, and praise God, there was nothing lacking to them, neither small or great, nothing lacking. God is speaking to us in this day and time, and he's saying, you're living in a dispensation. If you will seek my face, if you will rend your hearts and not your garments, if you will declare more than anything, I want to please God, and I want to walk in the very obedience of God's word, God is saying, you're living in a time where you will absolutely lack nothing. Lack is not of God. God wants to bring you to a place to where you absolutely lack nothing. But not only is God saying to that we're going to recover the things that we've lost, there's also something that God is saying. And this is what God is saying. He said, I want you to be like the church and understand that there are things that have been present that you have never, ever utilized in your life. The Bible talks about that, and that is that we will begin to see things that we didn't even know they were there, and they'd been there all the time. I was preaching in Fort Worth, Texas, a great number of years ago, and the pianist was a wonderful man, but he wasn't the most spiritual guy I ever knew, but he was extremely talented as a pianist. And I was preaching the Word of God, and everybody's sitting there just like you are. And all of a sudden, this guy was still sitting on the piano bench, and all of a sudden, he just fell out in the floor. And I stopped, and I looked over at him, and I said, David, what are you doing? He didn't answer. I stopped. I thought maybe it had a physical problem. And I stopped, and all of a sudden, this guy that was not given to it, he stood up, and he began to prophesy right in the midst of my message. And this is what God said to that church in Fort Worth. He said, there are things present here tonight that you're not seeing. And he said, I want to reveal those things to you. He said, if I could open your eyes, you would see that my spirit is among you. It's like a heavenly dew that has fallen upon you, but because you can't see it spiritually, he said, you're not receiving it. And then God went on to say in that prophecy, he said, not only that, I've sent angels here to minister to you, and you don't even know they're present because your eyes are closed to the things of the Spirit. And so when God talks about us seeing things and recovering things, he's talking not only about that which we've lost, he's talking about the things that are present. We don't even know that that's there. You know, when the Apostle Paul was converted from being Saul of Tarsus to the Apostle Paul, what happened to him when he fell off his beast and the light struck him down and the Lord spoke to him, what happened to him was he experienced that great conversion that I talked about on Sunday. But the Bible said that he went blind for 3 days. And then 3 days later, he was led into the city. 3 days later, he got his sight back. There is a symbolism in this that somehow evades us sometimes, and that is that when God converts you truly, you become blind to the things of the world and no longer see them, but now your eyes are open and you see the riches and the glory of Almighty God. What God is saying to us as a church, you have all kinds of assets that you don't even see or recognize, but I'm going to cause you to recover them or uncover them in this day. And you're going to begin to explore things that you've never known. You're going to begin to possess things that you've never registered to you that you have. In the Bible, there's the story of Elisha. It's a great, great story in 2 Kings chapter 6. And it's when Elisha and his servant were surrounded. And they were surrounded by great numbers of people. And all of a sudden, Elisha's servant became extremely fearful. Now, Elisha was not fearful, but his servant was. And Elisha said, God, help my servant. Open his eyes and let him see what is here. And suddenly that servant's eyes opened up. And he realized that that great army that was surrounding them, as big as it was outnumbered by God's army. Because suddenly he realized that God had surrounded the army of the enemy with a bigger army. And he said there were horsemen and chariots of the Lord and soldiers of God that surrounded them. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some of you right now that say, I'm a little perplexed, I'm a little outnumbered, I'm a little overpowered. But if you could recover what God wants you to recover, if you could uncover what God has presented for you, you wouldn't be afraid to get out of bed in the morning. You'd get up and say, I know that the enemy is great, but my God is greater. I know there are numbers against me, but the numbers of God are superior to the numbers that are against me. That's what faith is. Faith is saying, no matter what it looks like, I'm going to go back to the past and get what the devil has stolen. But not only that, my eyes are going to be open. Jesus said many times, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's a phrase that he used repeatedly. He wants us to see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a supernatural kingdom. And ladies and gentlemen, you might not see God, but his presence is in this room right now. The Almighty Creator of the universe is in this house right now. You might not be able to see this, but there are angels in this building right now. Praise God. Brett Jones' mother and Scott Jones' mother just passed away, and they had her funeral. And I was talking to Rex Johnson, which is it's his mother-in-law, and he said just before she died, said she began to talk. And she said, look at all the happy people. Look at all the little children playing. There's actually there's a verse in the Old Testament that talks about being heaven just like that, about children playing in the streets. The point I'm making is just before she passed over, her eyes were open and she began to see the kingdom of God. My daddy, when he was dying right across the street from here, the last words he ever said was, Steve, who's the big man standing by the door? There was no big man that I could see standing by the door, but my daddy was getting his heavenly eyes, and he could suddenly see things that I couldn't see. The Lord is speaking to us to recover our sight. That doesn't mean that we've been blind physically. It means that we have not been able to assess the strength and the help that is around us. In this building tonight, the presence of God is here. For every need, there is an answer. For every demon you face, there is an angel. For every problem that you're facing, there is help. The numbers that are against you are small compared to the numbers that are for you. But God said, I want you to recover or uncover your sight. I want you to begin to realize that you're not in this world by yourself. You don't go to work in the morning by yourself. God's going to go with you. He'll be riding in your car right with you. He'll be with you all day long. And friend, my friend that prophesied in Fort Worth, he said one of the things those angels were doing, he said people were just sitting there while you was preaching the word, and he said, I saw angels. And he said, I saw people would put their hands up, but then what I could see, the reason why those people had their hands up, there were angels that were pulling their hands up in the air. And he said they were all over the building. See, that's the difference between a Holy Ghost-filled church and a denominational church. They're void of God's Spirit, void of God's understanding. They don't believe in what I'm talking about. They don't believe in angelic assistance. They don't believe in the supernatural power of God. But what this Bible teaches and what I have experienced and what I'm preaching to you is that right now in this room, the glory of God is present. Angels are walking up and down these aisles, and God is saying to us, if you would realize that the power of the Old Testament is still with you, not only can you have the power of the Old Testament, but praise God, you've got a New Testament, which is a better testament. You can have everything they had and more too, because my presence is in this house. My angels are here right now. And friend, the Bible said those angels are errand runners for the heirs of salvation. We are not to serve angels. Angels are to serve us. And if we begin to see the resources that were available to the church, we would never be afraid again. We would never be lonely again. We would never be faithless again. We'd say, praise God, I see the glory of the Lord. I recover what's been lost in times past. What the devil took away, I've recovered it sevenfold. Not only that, now the Lord is uncovering things for me. I've got power I didn't know I had. I've got authority I never knew. My words have power. I'm taking words with me and turning to God. When I say scat, the devil's got to go. When I say come, the angel's got to show up. Praise God. When I say hallelujah, the Lord comes and sits right in the middle of that hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that God's vernacular, one of the great words is not just revive, it's recover. God does not want you to be broke. God does not want you to be empty. God does not want you to be afraid. God does not want you to be lonely. God does not want you to be powerless. God's in this room tonight, and he said, let me uncover for you things you've never seen. You say, well, I've seen it all, preacher. I've been walking with God a long time. You ain't seen nothing yet. As the last days approach, God is going to uncover more and more of the assets of the church of the living God. The Bible said the armory of the Lord is open. We're going to find weapons that we've never used before. We're going to find new ways to use old weapons. Our prayers are going to become more powerful. Our praise is going to become more supernatural. The use of the word is literally going to become a two-edged sword. You're not going to be the devil's whipping boy. The devil's not going to chase you. You're going to chase the devil. You're going to run him out of your house, out of your family, out of your kids' life. Praise God. And the glory of the Lord is going to manifest. If you can hear what I hear, you could say God is saying revive and recover. Revive and cover. Those things that used to be dead, they're alive. Those things that were lost, you recover. Those things you've never even seen, I'm going to show you. I don't care how long you've been living for the Lord. The Lord's about to show you some new things in your life. You're going to have new power, new love, new joy, new anointing, new strength. Praise God. God's in this house right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shikora mahalalabahya. Glory to God. When God begins to show you things, it scares some people. There was 200 men that would not go with David to follow the Amalekites that had stolen their wives. They let their wives and their children go, and 200 of them wouldn't go with David. And when David came back, the soldiers that went with him, they said, well, we're going to give them their wives and their children. We're going to run them off. And David said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to include everybody. You see, hatred's not allowed in the kingdom of God. Everybody doesn't get this message. Everybody doesn't understand this, but we're not going to run people off. We're going to experience this, and we're going to experience it in such a fashion that it is such a benefit and blessing to us. It will make those that stayed behind and those that were fearful apologize for their faithlessness, and they will get to embrace what God is going to do in our lives. Hallelujah. It's a brand new day. It's a brand new era. We don't have a lot of time. I don't know whether it's days, weeks, months, or years, but we've got to begin to say, God, nothing can be held for a rainy day. This is the rainy day. We've got to now explode the Spirit of God in our life to do the big things that God has called us to do. Praise God. Praise God. When I began to see the power of angels in my life, I was still a young man. And I saw that angels were not just somebody walking around with wings that you would catch a glimpse of for no purpose. The Bible said that angels are so common looking that you'll entertain them and not be aware of them. Sometimes they're just individuals. You think they're men, but they're really angels. I believe I've met angels in my life, never was able to find them again, talk to them again, but they were angels that appeared as men or women in my life. But we've got a tremendous anointing when we're spirit-filled and spirit-led. Now, this is not for the people that don't believe this yet. They're the 200 people that stayed home. They're the 200 people that said, no, we should not pursue. These are the 200. That's who the Christians that are non-spirit-filled represent. Those 200 represent them. But we don't begrudge them. We say we just got to show them what God can do, because everybody's hungry for a blessing. Everybody wants their life to be blessed. Everybody wants to be healed. Everybody wants to be filled with joy. Everybody wants to walk in love. We've got to show them by example. This is what the Lord spoke about. When the Lord said, this anointing is on me, I'll preach the gospel to the lost, to the poor. I'll bind up the broken heart. I'll do these miracles. God is saying, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Greater works than these shall you do. You can't do it if you've lost all your power. You got to go back and get it. You got to recover. You can't do it if you don't see the resources that are available to you. When I begin to see that, I realize that we literally have authority over angels. Did you ever do that? You ever use that? I preached about it a few times. But sometimes when I just can't go somewhere, can't do something, I just get down and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this. And I'll say, now I want my assigned angel to go to New York or go to California or go to Austin or go to Corpus Christi. And this is what I need done. And then I'll get a good report back. Praise God. Praise God. I had a friend that had a plane. He was flying down in Central America. And he was a missionary. And his plane was crashing. But there was a little church down in the Golden Triangle, Port Arthur, in that area. And they were having church just like this. And suddenly a woman stood up and she said, I see a plane crashing. She said, we need to send angels right now. And he reported lately, and they synchronized the time that when he was crashing, all of a sudden, he said, instead of that plane going down like it, it just began to glide and it settled down. It did a little damage to the plane, but he opened the door and walked out. When they synchronized the time, it was the very time that she saw that. And they stopped and sent angels to rescue that man. Friend, you say, that's crazy. No, friend, that is something that is unseen, that the church doesn't realize they have that kind of power. But God is saying, I'm going to recover it. I'm going to uncover it. I'm going to show you power that you've never used in the church. We thought we just had power to get to home and back to church and go to work and maybe cure a headache once in a while. Ladies and gentlemen, God is going to reveal to us that we have got unused power, unused authority. You're going to get to the place where when somebody's sick around you, they're going to be healed. When you hear about a problem, you're going to say, wait just a minute. Let me send an angel to them and let's take care of this situation. The biggest thing is yet ahead of us. Our best days are before us because, praise God, we're going to have the best of the past and we're going to have the glory of the present and the hope of the future. Get ready. God is getting ready to use us and bless us in a way that we have never been used or blessed before. I believe we're on the brink, on the verge of seeing the greatest miracles that the world has ever seen, and it can happen with you. You said, not me. Oh, yes. God don't care whether you got a degree in theology or not. God just wants to know if you're hungry. God just wants to know if you're thirsty. God just wants to know if you're totally sold out. God just wants to know if you've got faith. If you've got faith, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a mountain that can stand against you. Rise up and say, I am revived, and now I will recover the things that have been stolen from me, and they're going to come back sevenfold. Not only that, God is going to reveal to me that I've got talents I've never used. I've got anointing I've never known. I'm seeing God's work in my life like I've never seen it before. God is uncovering. Get ready, get ready. God is getting ready to uncover some things in your life that you've never known or experienced before, and you need to get ready for it. Shake off your fear. Shake off your fear. God is saying, yes, pursue, because I promise you this, you will recover all. And the Bible said they lacked nothing, and that's what God is saying to Living Way Church. This is our best day. This is our finest hour. I can't wait till the morning sun comes up, because praise God, I am revived, and I am in the process of recovering. Would you stand on your feet, lift your hands, and give God some praise in this house today? I feel the Holy Spirit in this room so greatly. I feel the Holy Ghost here so greatly. God is getting ready to do something for somebody that they've never experienced in their life. And God is getting ready to use you like you've never been used. And you're beginning to realize that, praise God, there are all sorts of things here that I've never seen before in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, except you do this, you shall not see the kingdom of God. He was so emphatic that we would see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a supernatural kingdom. It's a miraculous kingdom. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You started in the spirit. Now do you think you're going to be perfected in the flesh? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that God's kingdom is the one where sins are remitted. and drug habits are broken, and alcohol dependency is totally annihilated. It's a supernatural kingdom. It's a kingdom where people are delivered from demons. It's a kingdom where people are made to walk again. It's a place where hopeless people find hope. It's a place where salvation falls like rain. God's kingdom is strong, and it's getting stronger, and it's going to get bigger. These are the last days, and God is turning up the volume. God is accelerating the journey. God is going to do bigger things than he's ever done before. But he's saying to us, revive yourself. Revive yourself. Stir it up. Stir it up. And then he said, go back and possess every good thing you got and bring it forward, and I'll multiply it 7 times. And then when he said, when you get back with that, I'll peel back the cover and I'll reveal the things that have been so present in your life. You didn't know you were a soul winner. You didn't know you had that talent. You didn't know that God had given you the propensity to make money. You didn't know that it's been there all the time. But God said, I'm going to take the scales off of your eyes and I'm going to reveal it to you, and you're going to recover what the devil has been hiding from you all of your life. Give God some big praise in this house. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm always amazed.